So I'm going to start talking about mission-related investments. I'm going to make this quick because we want to get to the good stuff, and both of us have done presentations where the whole thing we're talking about is the distinction between mission-related investments and program-related investments. However, it is a really important distinction as we talk about some of the more interesting investment vehicles. One of the key questions for our charity clients that you have to address at the outset is, are we doing this as a program-related investment or not? If you're not, so what is a mission-related investment, or perhaps referred to as impact investment? There's no specific defined term, despite this is a very common usage these days. There's no legal definition of a mission-related investment or impact investment in the Internal Revenue Code or otherwise, unlike a program-related investment with a very specific definition. One of my colleagues who's now speaking elsewhere says what she doesn't like about this area is that she likes the law, right? And when you move outside of PRIs, there's not a whole lot of law, right, in terms of what we're talking about and how to assess those investments. And this is where we start to get into not your grandmother's impact investing. Well, at least when I started, all this was program-related investment work that I was doing. And I was part of a PRI investment network, and the focus was on foundations doing PRIs. Now, that is a percentage or a portion of the types of impact investing our clients are doing. What was called PRI Network is now called Mission Investors Exchange. The expansion is we're not just talking about private foundations, and we're not just talking about program-related investments. So what are they? We are talking about, unlike PRIs, these are investments that are expected to generate a financial return. They are not a charitable activity, so they do not need to meet PRI requirements. That's important because charitability is one of the major factors we're talking about when we talk about PRIs. Can this investment sufficiently, does it significantly further charitable purpose? How is it charitable? How do we measure what's charitable out of this investment? We are not doing that with a mission-related investment. This is sort of everything else. These are the financial, these are investments that further charitable mission, but they're not trying to meet the PRI test. So it's the other 95%, sometimes foundations refer to it as, because this is not part of a private foundation's or another charity's charitable activities. So it does not count towards your qualifying distribution requirement. It does also need to be a prudent investment. And that's another important piece of the analysis, is that you're going to be looking at these investments instead of doing a charitability analysis per se, is it meet a PRI test? We're looking at, is this a prudent investment considering the prudent investment standards I need to consider? So whereas a PRI is primarily about a charitable purpose and for a foundation, investment return can't even be a significant purpose of the investment. Here, we're moving down the spectrum towards investment that is for financial return, at least in part, if not primarily, and also has some attachment to mission, which is really part of the decision to make the investment in the first place. Okay, so I do that. So as I mentioned, one of the key issues is whether or not it's within a fiduciary, whether or not investment is prudent is a decision that needs to be made for an impact investment that's not a PRI. So that raises the question of whether or not it's even prudent to consider these non-financial goals in making an investment, because typically if you're not thinking about impact, you're looking for investments that are going to be generate the highest return, it would be the safest investment. And that is not, fortunately, what you need to do with a mission-related investment. So IRS notice, this notice came out in 2015, provides guidance clarifying that specific guidance under Section 4944 for private foundations. But I think we'll focus on a notice, and you'll see this notice also is parallel to state law requirements, which would apply to any charity, which is to say that you can, even when you're not making a PRI, you can take your charitable mission into account when you're making investment decisions. So you'd look at all the relevant facts and circumstances, and in reaching the fiduciary duty of exercising ordinary business care and prudence, you get to take into account the relationship of the investment to a charitable purpose, even if it's not a program-related investment. So you do not have to make an investment that has the highest rate of return or the lowest risk or the greatest liquidity. You can exercise your prudent, your fiduciary duties, and consider mission when you're making investments. So this was well received for impact investment. It doesn't say impact investment specifically in the notice, but it does provide clear guidance that for foundations, you can make investments taking into account mission. So, I mean, that leads to the question about, well, what about if it's not jeopardizing investment under tax law or we're not a private foundation? You also need to consider the state law investment standards. As I said, MRI is not required to meet a charitable standard, but you do need to meet the prudent investment standard in your state. So for nonprofit corporations, we're talking about the Uniform Prudent Management of Institutional Funds Act. I know there's a lot of, there's actually a whole session that was on that topic. So I'm going to focus on how the standard under MIFA relates to impact investments. And then for charities that are in trust rather than corporate form, it's the Uniform Prudent Investor Act, which they should be fairly parallel. MIFA is actually was based on UPS, so they're not exactly the same, but a lot of the focus, I'm going to focus on MIFA, but a lot of this you can apply to charities and the trust form as well, though you have, need to make sure you look at the relevant statute.